all about her, her body, her mind, her wellness, her sex, her relationships, her aging, her beauty. It's Her Radio, starring acclaimed entrepreneur and women's advocate, Michelle King Robeson, and leading women's health expert, the doc who walks the talk, Dr. Pam Peek.
Hi, welcome to the show. This is Melanie Cole sitting in for Dr. Pamela Peek today with Michelle King Robeson. And our guest is Dr. Lishan Aklog. He's a renowned heart surgeon, entrepreneur, and healthcare executive. And we're talking today about heart disease. We know, Dr. Aklog, that it is the number one killer of men and women. I myself am an exercise physiologist dealing with heart disease every single day. Why is it so deadly? What are people not getting about this disease?
Well, I think there's a lot of people know a lot about it. It's deadly because it's your heart, right? It's the center of our soul in some ways. And heart disease is the most prevalent cause of death, and it is important, as you mentioned, that women understand that because heart disease traditionally has been thought of as a men's disease.
Boy, is that the truth? Hi, Lishan. I know this is so true because women, we've had this discussion over and over again, right? Women get diagnosed much later. They go in and they have different symptoms than men do. Let's just even start with that. What are the symptoms for women? Because they're very different than men.
Yeah, I think, I think it's important to understand that the symptoms for women are more atypical. Now, any man or woman can have a variety of different symptoms that indicate heart disease. Our heart's not like the tip of our finger. You know, we burn the tip of our finger, we know where the problem is coming from.
Right.
So, but women in general have more atypical symptoms, so not the classic, elephant sitting on your chest, chest pain type symptoms. So, and as you mentioned, it's important that the women understand this because the nature of those symptoms leads to not just delays in treatment and diagnosis, but to more deaths. I mean, women right. have almost twice the chance of dying from a heart attack. So, if you look at overall the broad categories of symptoms of heart disease, there's sort of pain and discomfort, shortness of breath. Things like lightheadedness and passing out and palpitations. So, the more common assumptions with regard to pain that it's in your chest, right? Because that's where your heart is. But right. but the pain associated with a heart problem, a heart attack or other heart problems, can be actually can radiate to your back or to your arm or to your neck or your jaw or even to your upper abdomen. And that's a really particularly problemsome one because it can then be confused with other more mundane problems like indigestion or heartburn
right,
or acid
right.
reflux and things like that. So that's really a critical one to think about.
I hear that all the time. I cannot tell you how many women have said that they have been sent home and they've been told that they have acid reflux.
Right. Yep.
When they don't.
Right.
And
exactly.
That's so common. And Dr. Aklog is, the research typically, all the Framingham, everything like that, has always been done on men. And so now you're giving all these symptoms, jaw, back, things we've never heard before. So is the research now skewing towards women? This is the number one killer of women, more than all the cancers combined.
Correct. And that actually is changing. So you're right. The traditional, the long-term studies, like you mentioned, the Framingham study, which goes back many, many decades, were definitely biased towards men. But because there's greater awareness and because of, programs like this and organizations like Empower and so forth, there is a greater understanding, and now studies are actually mandated to have women. So we do have a much better understanding than we did several decades ago.
Well, that's a good thing. I mean, that's good to know. Lishan, how can we avoid this? What are some of the things that we can do to prevent this? Because we know part of this is genetics, correct?
Correct. I think it's really important to distinguish. One of the things I think it's important people to understand is that we talk about heart disease as a generic entity, and it's important that people understand what we're referring to. Lots of different things can happen to your heart, but generally, the most common one is actually the technical term for it is coronary artery disease, which is plaques, cholesterol and lipid fatty plaques that get deposited and clog up the arteries to your heart. And that's the most common. It's important that people understand that there are other types of heart disease. There are valve problems, there are heart arrhythmias, and so on and so forth. As you mentioned, there are, if you divide the things that can cause or put you at risk for heart disease, again, I'm referring to coronary artery disease, there are sort of two categories. There are things that you can control and there are things that you can't control. So genetics are definitely an important part of it, and having a family history of heart disease is an important risk factor. One thing that there's a lot of confusion with regard to that is that heart disease is very common. So if you go far enough out on your family tree, you'll inevitably find somebody who has heart disease. So when we talk about a family history, we're really talking about first-degree relatives, so mother, father, brother, sister, child. So if you have a second uncle twice removed who has heart disease, that doesn't necessarily mean you have an increased risk. But what's really more important are the things that we can control. And those include lifestyle modifications as well as treating medical risk factors. So if you look at the medical risk factors, there are things like hypertension, high blood pressure. So if you have high blood pressure, you want to get that under control. Cholesterol is another one. There's a lot of controversy recently because the guidelines have been modified. But at the end of the day, we do know that higher cholesterol is a cause of these blockages that cause heart disease. Diabetes is another one.
Right.
But in terms of lifestyle, it's probably, you know, the number one is smoking. It's not smoking. Smoking is a major, major cause of heart disease. And some of the decline in heart disease over the past couple of decades can be associated with that. And then generally dietary discretion, so yeah, eating a healthy, heart-healthy diet, and activity. And activity is not simply exercise, it's just overall level of activity. That pretty much summarizes the major risk factors.
So I keep hearing this controversy over the, you know, drugs like Crestor or Lipitor, that they're really not that good for you, and they're particularly not good for women, that they're causing other problems. And that the guidelines, it keeps taking it down. They want your cholesterol down even further and further and further. What do you think about this?
So if you thought the issue with around cholesterol and bad cholesterol, in particular LDL, statin type medications like Crestor, if you thought it was controversial a couple of months ago, it's exploded into even greater controversy over the last couple of months because the American Heart Association and the NHLBI guidelines just came out and really kind of threw a wrench in terms of how we have traditionally looked at it. Probably don't have a whole lot of enough time to really go over that in detail, but I think there are some high-level comments that are worth making. One is we do know that a couple of things that are clear, that your LDL, your bad cholesterol, does contribute to the formation of these plaques. So that's true. We do know that you can get your bad cholesterol level down by dietary and lifestyle changes alone. That's also true. The question as to what extent can you do that, and if your cholesterol is high enough, can you do it enough to lower your risk so that you've really significantly decreased your risk of heart disease? And there are a subset of patients in whom that either they're not able to live up to the lifestyle changes that are necessary, or their cholesterol levels are so high that they can't, that diet and exercise are not enough.
The question
is not so much are statins, like every medication, statins have risks and benefits, and it's a question really of not are they useful, it's a question of in what subset of patients is it useful.
So we're going to have you come back and just do a whole segment on statins. Thank you so much, Dr. Leshawn Atklog. Don't forget, look at your lifestyle, your diet, and activity when you're talking about heart disease. Thank you so much. You're listening to Her Radio on Radio MD. This is Michelle King Robeson. I'm here with Melanie Cole. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter @YourRadioMD.